Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Consciousness Shift here on Here Be Monsters Network. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and I am joined, as always, with my co-host, Gwen Barry. And today, we have a special guest, and we're going to be talking about gemstones and gem elixirs and the grids and all kinds of cool stuff from the past coming up now to help us on our journey. So we're joined by Kim Moore, who has just completed, if I understand correctly. Why don't you tell us about the grid, Kim, and welcome.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Gwen. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Good, good.
Great. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. I'm usually on the other side, so I'll have to return the favor for you guys.
Cool.
Love it. That would be great.
Yeah, so no, actually I just got in these really fabulous crystal grids that are super fun and going to be working with goddess energy and crystals and oils and seeing what can be created on the grid. So, you know, I got a flower of life, a seed of life, an infinity symbol, and, you know, I'll have to put some of this Daughters of Isis good stuff here to work, too.
So the grids are, they're the pictures of the flower of life, the symbols, and the patterns, and then you put gemstones on them. Explain how they work.
Yeah, so the grids are really great, and this is actually the first time that I've used one that was already like a pre-printed pattern. So usually if I'm doing a grid, you know, you do your own intuitively. You take your crystals and your points and everything and use them with, you know, tarot cards or goddess cards or anything like that and add oils to them and use them for, you know, the moons or the Sabbaths or, you know, anything. If you're looking to manifest, if you're looking to clear, they're fantastic. So with these, they're pre-printed. So you've got a great symbol that's, you know, about 4 to 5 inches around with the flower of life. And, you know, it's like a, you know, it's like a map. And then to work with it intuitively to put crystal points and, you know, or a statue or an intention or anything on that to kind of, you know, vitalize it and manifest.
So they're natural geometric patterns that resonate already, we know, resonate with a very, very good frequency that you can now apply your gemstones and crystals to and work with both in combination. And then apply it to whatever your goal is, like you said, a tarot card or manifestation or clearing, right?
Absolutely. That's perfect, Gwen, yeah. You know, I mean, you know, simply the design, as you know, is resonating at a certain frequency. I mean, the flower of life is a repeated pattern, you know, not just energetically, but in nature and in our bodies and everything. So by tapping into that and using one that's, you know, pre-printed, it gives you a focal point for meditation and journey work. And then adding your own personal, you know, crystals and symbols and everything to it makes it that much more powerful.
Cool. That's a nice tool to have. And these are little printed, they look like little cloths.
Yeah, it's like, you know, a little bit bigger, funny enough, than like a washcloth, you know, if you think about it that way, mm-hmm. and made from all natural, you know, fibers and everything. So everything is done very naturally, really beautiful. And, you know, like I said, it's a map. And you can, you know, it comes in all different shapes or anything. And then, of course, you can kind of riff on that and use it for however you like.
Do they, I've got a question. I didn't see it in the promo pictures or whatever. Do they have a Merkaba, like a Merkaba one?
Yes, they do have a Merkaba one.
So they have all these wonderful geometrics that a lot of us have been working with for a while.
Yes, it was, you know, and I've been looking for quite a while, you know, on to see what kind of, you know, shapes that I wanted. And, you know, they have the Merkaba, they have a pentagram. I started out, you know, with they have this cool little three-pack where you get the flower, or you could pick your three, and I picked the flower of life, the seed of life, and the infinity symbol, and but then you get to pick your colors and everything, you know, on how you want it to look. They have Metatron's cube, just really very interesting, you know, ways to, again, take your meditation, your ritual, your ceremony to the next level.
It sounds like a really great idea. I'm sure it is. I'm going to be looking at it. That's an idea. I've printed geometrics out for little, you know, grids to create to help me create essences or to charge things on the bench. But I've never seen anybody actually come out with these little maps, as you say. That's a wonderful tool.
It really is, and you're exactly right, you know, and I think a lot of us when we make, you know, essences and everything, you know, we're using some very natural, like, you know, I do a lot of work, obviously, with the crystals, and I, you know, I have a quartz cradle that I use and things like that, but I really like the simplicity of the cloth. It makes it really accessible. I mean, you know, for somebody who's even just starting out with crystals to find out how they resonate with them, or to do a little bit of journey work, I think these are really fantastic. And you can start with something really simple, you know, like one essence, one oil, and some points, you know, so it doesn't have to be like, oh, go get a, you know, a big quartz cradle $500 later, you know.
Well, now, when you're working with them, now, whenever I've done it, I've always visualized the, and a fourth-dimensional kind of way, or 3D, a lot of people think is, but it's really fourth-dimensional. I get too technical. Visualizing the geometric body that comes with that grid that you are making. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because that, you know, folks, the more we divulge of how we work with things, the more people learn and grow and do their own experimentation. You follow?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and if you think about, I mean, you know, and I'll go with the flower of life because that's a pretty universal symbol, you know, and people usually recognize it. And, you know, I happen to order, the one I have is in green, the green ink, because I'm going to be using it to work quite a bit with the heart chakra. So, you know, that's the other really cool thing. You can use your colors to resonate as well, and then you can target your chakras. And as you said, to use that 4D visioning, you know, in your meditation. And, you know, by empowering the grid with certain types of crystals, whether they're the quartz points or like kyanite, which is really great, you know, as well, green calcite. I've been, like, totally into green calcite lately for heart chakra work. So, you know, by having those on the grid, and even if you have a second stone that you can place, you know, on your body or hold in your hand as you're working with it, and to kind of, you know, look at the pattern, allow the pattern to begin to resonate with you as you're breathing, and then you're going to breathe it into your chakra, you know, and see it resting on your heart. The cool thing about these cloths, and one of the experiments I'm going to do, when I find a willing victim, or with myself, is to work with them by laying them on people. And I think that could work really well because it's a nice light cloth, and you could lay it right on, you know, someone's chakra that you're working with.
Wow.
And then use the crystals or essences that, you know, resonate.
That's a really great idea. That's good. That's good path work. And when we bring up stones, ladies, let's remember to let people know what properties are or the main properties of the stones. And kyanite's wonderful because, in a way, it introduces us to something, folks, some of the basics. Kyanite really, well, according to Melody, and whenever you hold it, whether it's black kyanite or blue kyanite, whatever kind you have, it never seems to need to be cleared or cleansed. Correct? Is that your experience with kyanite?
That it doesn't need to be cleared or cleansed?
Right.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
I would agree with it. And actually, it's really funny. The first time I ever worked with kyanite was a piece you made, Gwen, probably 18 years ago. And it's a big piece of blue kyanite with a quartz point on it, and there's a feather in between.
Feather. Yeah,
I see.
Wow, okay. Yeah, that's my guide carrier. I programmed that to my guides. Wow. Wow. That's sitting in my head. That is one time ago.
It is, and it's an amazing piece, and that was how I started working with blue kyanite, and I do agree with you 100%. It does not have to be cleansed. You also have to, I think with kyanite too, you have to be careful, or at least I have found that when you're wearing it. It's not a really great stone to wear if you're headed to work or somewhere where you really need to do, like, less brain activities.
Yes. It tends to allow you to make other connections.
Yes, exactly. You know, which is why it's really a unique stone for journey working or using on a crystal grid. It can really power your connection to your guides or, you know, goddess or, you know, whatever you're doing astrally.
That's a great point. Also, blue kyanite is a wonderful stone to work with in this regard. If you're doing any clearing work or energy work, it aligns your chakras while you're using it. It has that capability. It's one of the better stones to use with quartz when you're doing just healing work too, because it actually acts as a compass or director for energy, visualization energy, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it's very, very powerful. I mean, I find that anyone that, you know, especially if you're a person who has done meditation or journey work before and has established kind of, you know, some of the pathways, kyanite, man, it'll send you right into them, you know, very effortlessly.
True. It facilitates meditation. That's one of Melody's, one of her properties. She says that it's a getting into kind of stone. And it's reasonably inexpensive to get.
Does it come in different colors? Because I have a white one. I looked up while you guys were talking about the kyanite, and it looks the same, only it's white. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, kyanite comes in like 5 different colors. The most prolific is the blue. And there's a lot of black kyanite out there, too. I have a big piece of that.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's really interesting, because I think the black kyanite, it's probably, I would say in the past, like, 4 years, I've seen a lot of it, a lot more than I ever did years ago, you know. But the blue kyanite, like you said, Gwen, it is. It's relatively inexpensive. It's a great stone, you know, to hold in your hand. And, you know, it comes, like, in a shard, that shard-like form. So it's a great journey stone to just kind of hang on to as well.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Now, we're talking about how kyanite is one of those stones. It's actually a gemstone in reality. It's one of those stones or crystals that you get that doesn't really require any cleansing. But generally speaking, I think that people under who work with crystals and gemstones know that we're called to them. They're the treasures of the earth. We are called to them. We're called to them for reasons. But when we get them, making a relationship with them, the first step in that is a cleansing or clearing. Yeah?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're really lucky here in South Florida because we have the ocean, and I love, you know, taking my stones down and, you know, down to the ocean and doing a good cleanse on them that way sometimes. But, you know, if you're landlocked or, you know, you can't quite do that, there are lots of ways that you can cleanse your stones. And I really encourage people. I mean, Gwen, this is something you taught me about crystals so many years ago, was to be really intuitive. Let them talk to you and tell you what they need. I mean, you'll have that sensation of, I feel like I want to do something, you know, with this piece of quartz or whatever. You can put it out. I love putting stones out for the full moon or even in the sunshine. If you've got a nice, bright, sunny day, you know, I mean, sunshine is always a great cleanser for it. You know, soaking them in spring water can work as well. And sometimes working with the different essential oils can do it.
Also, if you are near an ocean or salt water, you can go down to the beach, especially with your quartz crystals, your generators, your points, and cleansing them, you know, you cleanse them there. But also remember that you rebuild the ionization on the crystal and the piezoelectric properties when you just take the crystal and run it on the surface of the water back and forth, splashing it. Did you know that?
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that idea.
Yeah, I actually, when we were in Tucson, having a conversation with Melody, Asa said something, and she told Asa that.
Oh, that's a marvelous idea. And, you know, I really, and any running water, I mean, rivers would be really good too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Has a different, you know, ionization process, obviously, because it's the fresh water, but certainly. And the grids can work. You can actually set up a grid that's your grid for clearing stones. And you keep it on a separate, you know, space, keep that space nice and smudged and clean. And if you need a quickie cleansing on a stone, put it on the grid overnight.
I never thought of that, actually. I've actually cleared stones on clusters, but I never thought of a grid. That's excellent information. Nick, how do you cleanse your stuff?
Oh, well, I do get a lot of sun on my windowsill here, but I also like to use the moon when the moon is in certain places.
Yeah.
And I like the ones that I can take into the bath with me. I know the kyanite, you can't get it wet. Asa warned me about that. So, and I'm looking into meditating more outside of the bath for things that are not bath friendly. So, and then I like the running them under cold water and charging with the light that way.
Gotcha. There's also a trick, and I can't remember who taught me this, but it was something we used to do in the shop. Blow white light into a crystal.
Mm.
When you're purchasing or when you are looking at a crystal and you're called to it, and, you know, when you've been in business and you've sold crystals and gemstones and all of it, you realize pretty quickly that when somebody's attracted to a stone or a crystal, they're going to walk out with it. There's just no, and they'll put the kibosh on it if they want it. They don't have the money at the moment. That's like Bobby in that Black Star Blade. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah, and the carnelian blade. That was mine.
Yeah. People will go in and they will see something they really love, and in their essence will just attach to it. And that actually means that the stone is for them. To all shopkeepers out there, it's best just to remove the stone or the blade or whatever it is, you know, the wand, and put it into wherever you store them until they come back in and purchase it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a good idea. It really is. All of a sudden, all the stones around it start going, what's going on here? but it is quite true. So, Nick, what is your favorite stone to work with?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, because people always assume that I work with a lot of crystals and stones, and I have a lot of stones and gemstones, but I don't work with them that much. And listening to you gals talk, I'm asking myself why. I mean, I'll tell you the one stone that I use consistently and is the most powerful. So maybe you guys can lead me in directions beyond this one. I have one of those purple, it's like a piece of the earth, and they have all the purple crystals on the inside. What is that called?
Amethyst?
Mm-hmm. It's a slice of amethyst that my father had. And when I do the radio shows and I want to tune in, I put it, I bond with it and then put it under my chair. And it's like a vortex. And, you know, it needs to be closed eventually. Like, I can't just let it sit there because then I feel like I'm sort of flying through the cosmos without a purpose. So, so I had to learn that. I was like, well, I can stand the vortex. Why not? It's a beautiful thing. But I realized, you know, okay, patience, young Padawan, you know, use it for an hour and then put it back, you know.
You know, it's interesting that you would choose that for that purpose, because the lore on amethyst is that its first lore is that it is a stone of wisdom and of leadership. And one of the reasons is because it's what they would like line the goblets of the, you know, warrior kings and the kings and all the leaders. And this was practiced from the east to the west, because you find amethyst reoccurring about everywhere on the planet in some form or another, and or every continent. And they would line the goblets to keep the leaders sober while they were, you know, meeting with other dignitaries and, you know, you follow where I'm going with that one. It's because of that, it's called the Stone of Sobriety to the folks that, you know, are part of Bill's rooms, as they say, the 12-step programs. That's somebody picks up a white chip, and I'll guarantee in most places, someone in the room will give somebody a tumbled amethyst the same night, you know?
Mm. Well, it does feel like it clears the way. Like it makes, I can hear better, and it's like it clears the way. So that makes perfect sense. I had no idea.
Yeah, I have an amethyst blade I got in Tucson. My sister works with it now more because she does with her acupuncture. She does Reiki on the table, and she uses it. For years when I used it, it was a blade I used to carve out like doorways between worlds, and I would let it direct the light so that it was choosing the best place for me to enter and return from.
Wow.
Yeah, well, the stone knows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have on my patch. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to, you know, it was really interesting what you said about the sobriety stone, because it actually, amethyst is from the Greek amethystos, or I probably butchered that totally in Greek, but anyway, which means not drunk or not intoxicated.
Correct, yeah.
So, yeah, so it's really fantastic because it does give you that clear vision.
Well, and it's also a beautiful stone. I was having a bad time in Lighthouse Point when I was selling the house, and Asa gave me this little slice. It was a rosette. You know what I'm talking about? The rosette slices where it's like crystal on the inside but amethyst on the outside.
Mm. Yeah.
And he gave that for me to put under my pillow because I was having bad dreams. I have always kept a tumbled amethyst around or a piece of amethyst near my nightstand. And it does work. It does work, you know. You use that.
I do.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, yep, I do the same by my nightstand, exactly.
Yeah, and here's another little thing that I've done, too. I have a dream catcher above my bed. And I use the amethyst to light up that dream catcher, especially it's like on the 31st of April, I went to sleep. And, you know, you can ask me, how's your sex life, Gwen? There's been an out of order sign hanging on that for years. The point is that I haven't had any, you know, like, what do you say, naughty dream? For a long, long time. And on the 31st of April, like the day before yesterday, I had some real whoppers. And I thought, when I woke up, I thought, okay, this is going to be a May.
Happy Beltane.
Yeah. There's some great right going on that night across the world. But I use the amethyst to as like a little energy director for my dream catcher, so that, you know, to empower it to let the good dreams through and keep the nasties at bay, you know.
Yeah, I leave it on my altar, which is sort of near my bed. So, and I feel like that recharges it with my elephant and my Kuan Yin watching over it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, and you know, for those who have trouble with nightmares, besides the dream catcher, which I always recommend, and mine has, you know, the crystals in it as well. But, you know, the thing that's kind of cool when I saw the cloth is you could take a cloth, you know, flip your mattress up in between the mattress and box spring, you know, set the cloth in it, put your grid, your crystals, for what you want, you know, or to help you sleep, and then carefully lay the mattress back down on it. And that could be a really powerful use of it, or, you know, maybe to encourage a more frisky activity in bed.
Right.
All righty then.
Actually, I have a question. Go ahead.
Your number is 1-800 Pure Love.
Yeah, right.
Advisory on how to spruce up your sex life. I like that. I'm making fun, but I like that. It's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that goes out. I had to go with that.
That was great. I just keep saying 1-800 Pure, P-U-R, love.
I bet you we could create a grid for that and sell the hell out of it.
That's great. Per love.
That's one of the Yaya Queen's oils, so, and I do sell a lot of it.
Oh. Wow, there you go.
go. Yeah, put a little Daughters of Isis, you know, spritz on top of that, and woo, here we go.
another stone that we should probably talk about is rose quartz.
Mm. Well, I just have one question about the dreams. And a suggestion for what to work with. I don't have bad dreams, but I would like to remember my dreams more. And specifically, I feel like there's a lot of downloading going on. So the second I wake up, it all makes sense to me. And then literally within, like, I don't know, minutes, it becomes a concept. The whole thing just becomes like a concept that I can't really describe. So, like, what would you suggest to work with, like, really capturing that and understanding what's going on there?
Go ahead, Kim. Give it a whirl.
Okay. Well, and actually, amethyst, I think, is really one of the fabulous, gentle, you know, dream crystals. And I love the idea of putting it in your pillow or under your mattress and keeping it really close. I have found that to remember dreams, you know, getting in the habit of it is a really good idea. You know, you write them down as quick as you can, and that does facilitate it. And the other, I keep, I keep like black tourmaline, just to, you know, keep the area nice and clear, around my bed. I use the quartz. I usually have a piece of kyanite floating around and the amethyst. And I also have carnelian, but I'm into Mega Boost, right? So carnelian can really evoke a lot of activity. So if you're someone who's like a restful sleep, I wouldn't recommend it. But carnelian,
if you're already there.
Yeah.
Why not go? It sounds perfect. Go ahead.
So I think that, you know, I kind of like it, especially if I'm working, you know. And, you know, with moonstone is another really good one, especially if you're doing a lot of divine feminine work, goddess work. Having a moonstone around the bed could be really powerful and really set your intention, Nicole, prior to going to sleep. Like, okay, you know, here's my intention. I want to remember my dreams. I want to bring the message back through. And moonstone might be one that would be really great. And it works well with amethyst, in my opinion. Do you think, Gwen?
Oh, yeah. You'll find a lot of jewelry that's created directly like that. Yeah, that's true. I really like petersite, which they call tempest stone. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I haven't seen petersite in years.
I
lived in Arizona.
I have some tumbles, and I have a beautiful cabochon that I wear, which is in the shape of a nice, you know, three-sided pyramid. But the petersite, it's got a high chancy to it. It's blue, white, brown, but primarily an indigo blue. And it basically stimulates the pineal gland. And precognitive dreams are one of the properties of the stone. Once you get connected to it and you begin to work with it, you can use a tumbled petersite, and you can find it in shops, usually small little tumbled pieces, and they're like anywhere from $5 to $8. It's a really wonderful stone. It's a pretty stone too, and it's unusual. I love the unusual.
Wow, that's great advice. Thank you so much, both of you.
It's one of those stones that people say do different things for different people, but one of the overalls is about awakening the third eye. And when you're awakening the third eye, you're also clicking into your memory. memory is big with that, because, you know, when you're working with the third eye, you're really accessing that multitudinous download into the subconscious brain, so the subconscious mind. So it, I think it's a really good one. And it's unusual.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great. Check into those Akashic records real quick.
There you go.
And while we're talking about crystals and gemstones, what's your favorite book, you guys, each of you? What are your favorite books for properties and how to work with them?
Well, my favorite book, it's not a gemstone book, it's Heal Your Body by Louise L. Hay. I reference it often.
Okay, yeah.
Good. Melodies is, I mean, that's the Bible, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, but you know, Margaret Ann Lembo did a nice essential guide to crystals, minerals, and stones, and she breaks it down in kind of smaller bite sizes, and and she has some really nice insights for it.
It's a good reference book. Quick reference.
Yes, and it has good pictures too, because, you know, especially when people are starting out and you don't know how to recognize the stones, or maybe you got one, you can't remember what it's called anymore, you lost a little slip of paper, you know. And she's got really nice clear pictures in hers. And I know Melody has a
pictorial. She has a pictorial that's really good. She's also got a book on gridding and all of that too, crystal healing. My favorite is also the one that Kim has just stated. Its title is called Love is in the Earth, A Kaleidoscope of Crystals by Melody. And you want to know something, Kim? It's out of print.
Oh. That is really interesting. I have seen it in a couple of shops here and there in my travels, and I buy it when I see it, and then because I tend to give it away, you know.
Yeah.
So I bet. I mean, I can't even imagine what you do without it. I mean, and again, that was a reference from you. Yeah.
The copy in front of me right now was on the desk up front, the showcase up front at the shop. There's also another book that has both the long versions of properties and all of the pictures, more than one in most cases. And it was put out by those folks at Heaven and Earth, who are extraordinarily expensive folks for stones. But they do put out good information with the folks they work with. And it's called The Book of Stones, Who They Are and What They Teach. And the people that contributed to it are Robert Simmons and Aisha Ashid. And they're both channelers that most folks know about for years and years. And the information in The Book of Stones is really, really good. It's first class, just like Melody. It's even got some more than Melody has. I think that Melody is actually working on an update of Earth, Love is in the Earth, and that's why they haven't been reprinting it for the last, like, I don't know, 5 years or something. But Love is in the Earth was translated into 40 different languages. That's how popular it was.
Wow. 40. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of people working with stones.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, you were going to say about the rose quartz. I was interested to hear what you had to say.
Go ahead, Kim.
Okay.
take it away, Kim.
I'll tell you. I love rose quartz. Say again?
The guest always goes first, darling.
Well, you know, rose quartz is one of those, you know, awesome crystals. It's like a, you know, I call it a gateway crystal, because it's one of those crystals that people will be drawn to even if they've never worked with them before. And I've also found that I usually carry like 5 or 6 of them in my purse. It's just like a weird thing I do. And, you know, if you encounter somebody who's having a really bad day or a stressful day or is upset, rose quartz brings in that gentle love energy that just is soothing and calming. And, you know, it's really a beautiful stone. That's how I use it. My Kuan Yin is surrounded. I have one Kuan Yin that is surrounded by my rose quartz. So, and she's like a grid for it. So when I gift those rose quartzes, those are my Kuan Yin rose quartzes that I gift. So, and compassion. You know, when I was going through a rough time a couple years ago after my divorce, I kept rose quartz around me all the time because it brings in the energy of compassion.
There you go.
A perfect link with the Kuan Yin. Nice.
Rose quartz is definitely the heart stone. And one of the most beautiful stones you'll ever see is a star rose quartz, especially in a cabochon and jewelry. It's just gorgeous. I have a little rose quartz cluster that I actually got from Melody out in Tucson, and it charges my oil, my base oil on my bench. It's always in there. And it's been there for like how many years now? A long, long time. And it's got a beautiful, beautiful energy. You know, rose quartz comes in a chevron with amethyst. You can find it. Chevron means a combination, you know. And there's also rose quartz celestials, too. I don't know if you're familiar. Nick, are you familiar with celestial crystals?
No.
They're the ones that have, like, little water pockets on them. We call them motherships. You know what I'm talking about, right, Kim?
Oh yeah, it's like holding a gun.
You remember that big double carbonated smoky Alessio?
Yes.
I still got it.
Oh, good. I'll tell you, every time I see Alessio, I think of that.
It's a hummer. It weighs like, I think it weighs 4 pounds.
Wow.
It's big. Well, you've seen it too, Nick.
Yeah.
But celestial quartz is, boy, that's a door opener. That's cruising the cosmos, celestial. They let you cruise the cosmos. That's what I always think about in celestial when I see it. I think my dog's going to bark. If he does, I'll have to run and get him. But so, Elroy, come here. Cookie? But rose quartz is like everything Kim said, plus the fact that rose quartz is, do you remember Lucky used to order bags, pound bags of rose quartz, tumble rose quartz from us?
Yeah.
She used to give them out. Lucky worked, well, now she works with Sandy out in Coral Springs, but she used to work at Hialeah Police Department as a dispatch, and she would go and give all the guys, the patrol guys, rose quartzes to carry on them.
Wow.
So we need
That's
copies
awesome.
Of that.
We yeah.
Need mm-hmm. You know, and rose quartz also is a wonderful stone when you need to heal physically. Real important about that stone.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff on that one. Yeah, very necessary right now because, you know, that's what we're going through right now with this full moon and this in Scorpio, it's a lot of this digging up of the past. I mean, in positives and negatives, everything coming back to be incorporated somehow, you know, or released. So that rose quartz really sounds like a choice to work with. And the Elysium, that was called?
What?
The one
the
to... Elestials,
yeah.
You know, while we're incorporating all of this, to be able to really see it behind us, in front of us, so we can see now, sounds great. It's really great. Wow, it's so great to learn about these things, because, you know, you can meditate, and that's one way, but now you have these crystals and gemstones and to work with. And Gwen, you have these amazing stones besides the ones that you've already mentioned, but that you've had for years and years, that you've made essences out of recently, right?
I finally got together, and I'm doing the descriptions online right now, but after all these years, I have several that have been standard that I use in my formulas for flower essence vibrationals. And I think it's really important to say, too, if you're going to work with gem essences or elixirs, the key to it is having a quartz, a clear quartz crystal that you can clear and work with, that you're very familiar with, because with gem essences and elixirs, you can bathe the crystal in those essences and elixirs, and the properties in them will translate into the clear quartz crystal. So if you're looking for, you know, like I have one of the essences that I created years ago, and it takes years to find out what they're really going to do, too. It's practice makes perfect kind of thing. But one of them I've had for years is the Black Star Sapphire. Is everybody familiar with the Black Star Sapphire?
Oh, I think so. Nice. Yes. I have a pendant of a Black Star Sapphire that's gorgeous. I adore it.
Yeah, they are rare. When you can find one, grab it. And also another rare stone is the strawberry quartz. And I found out working with them that they really combine to make a primary crisis essence. You know, like Rescue Remedy.
Really?
See, the strawberry quartz awakens the heart chakra while connecting the chakras and subtle bodies of consciousness with the physical body in conscious awareness. And what that does is express or experience self-love. It enables your projected astral presence in the center of the cosmos. In other words, connecting to the heart of heaven. And strawberry quartz is a powerful initiator of physical and emotional healing. So you have that presence resonating there. Then the Black Star Sapphire is a black cat's eye sapphire. It's really beautiful. And it carries one of the strongest resonant vibrations of inner strength and the resolve to dispel fear. Can I get an amen, lady?
Amen.
Amen.
It's very, very protective. And it awakens our primal survival skills. But there's a tempering of those instincts within our highest good. I mean, that's my experience. And it ties us to our causal body of consciousness, our highest self, in our thoughts and actions that receptively will ground us. And it relieves us from intuitively triggering anxieties while it helps us to trust our instincts.
That's a good one.
That's the, you know, you combine the two of those, and you know, that was really, and I did that because when I work at the bench, I listen to the guys and gals, and what they say, I just do, put it aside, let it do, you know. And this one, this one's been around since, I think, I guess it was my trip back from Glastonbury when I had the Black Star Sapphire with my sister. So it's been around for over 25 years and cooking, you know. So
wow.
It's taken a while to come to with it, but I think what it does, this essence does, is face and resolve fear during deep crisis of self-confidence, loss, a lack, isolation, too much isolation these days, a loss of faith or spiritual fulfillment. And, you know, what's really wonderful about essences and elixirs is you can bathe, meditate, apply them prior to bedtime. And let me tell you what, a lot of folks, including myself, I mean, we're all going through from time to time the hour of the wolf syndrome. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And listen, repetitive applications during these times can ground you, and it can help to release fear while it works to establish a renewed self-confidence, a brighter perspective, and looking at things from a very challenging point of view. So essentially, I think the black star represents a fit and working crown chakra, while the strawberry works as a fit and working root chakra. And when you've got those going for you, you know, in moments when you need them, then, you know, you're cooking, you're doing good, you're sliding along. Glide along, whatever way, you know.
Wow.
That is amazing.
And here's the thing. You get a healer who's working with, you know, like my sister has this beautiful laser quartz that she works with to clear people when she's doing Reiki or prior to an acupuncture application. She can put drops of that essence onto that clear quartz crystal, and it will infuse that energy into the quartz crystal for the healing. You see how the clear quartz is extraordinary and key to working with elixirs and essences.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, really great, Gwen. I like that. And the strawberry quartz, you know, with the black star sapphire, that's amazing. Really amazing.
Well, and that was just the guys telling me to do it. And I put them together in one of my bottles and put it aside. And there it has been for a long while. I've used it here and there in formulas because I was guided to. But when I decided that it was time to put crystal and gemstone essences up onto the website and to offer them, I had to go into it. So when I was in Boston, I think I began, but it all culminated in the last, I don't know, year or so of me making notes here and there. So, and I'm still putting it up online, but they're there to find. Another really great stone that we have to talk about for a minute before our hour is up, and I'm thinking you're all going to think I'm right on this, is Moldavite, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Lest we forget the Moldavite. Come down from the cosmos. Whammo! Here you go. I know.
Yeah. Do you know how long ago it was? Here's the thing. Not many people realize, they know it's a fabulous stone, a beautiful gemstone, and it's in the queen's, you know, crown and all of that, the biggest stone and all of that. But folks don't know that when that meteorite hit the earth, it was like an extinction kind of hit. And it hit so hard that a lot of the mineral, or, you know, the gemstone, actually liquefied into, because it penetrated the earth so deeply, there's moldavite in the iron ore, liquid ore core of our planet. Did you know that?
No. Wow.
Yeah.
The very first time I walked into Daughters of Isis all by myself, I had been in South Florida for a couple of weeks. Bob was behind the counter, and I was just walking around, and I saw this bowl, and I picked one of the stones up, and it seared me. I mean, it was like my entire body. It was like somebody had stuck a tuning fork into me. And I dropped it and looked shocked, and he laughed at me. Of course, I carried it home with me. So,
what is this? I must work with this. Wow. Wow, and I went to get one as well, and this lady, I was looking, and this woman came out of nowhere, another patron, and she was like, oh my God, you're looking at the moldavite? I was like, yeah. She was like, wow, I put that on, and it changed my whole world. My whole thing just flipped upside down, and I was devastated, but it was worth it. I needed to happen, And now I'm good.
It's definitely a star stone. And it also brings large changes. I think one of its hugest property has to be transformation.
Yeah.
Excelling spiritual awareness, that it does shift your consciousness.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's another one that you shouldn't wear at work. Unless your work is more spiritual, but you know, it's one that can really send you wiggy quick.
Yeah, see, I stopped wearing it, and I remembered, like, it's such a beautiful, it's the shape of a pyramid. I have this necklace, and now that it's come up on the show, I'm wondering if it's, like, time to start wearing it. What do you ladies think? How do you deal with the moldavite these days?
I have a beautiful Triskelion cut gem that's pretty big in carats. I had a pocketbook and I bought one when I was in Tucson, the gem show. Anybody who can get there should go. And I wear it a lot, but I don't wear it constantly. Then again, you know, I have all these plant medicines, these essential oils to ground me.
Right.
And if it weren't for the oils, I'd be kaput, you know.
Yeah.
I use moldavite very specifically for, you know, Akashic work, really deep work, or if I feel like, you know, I've been too grounded and I need to get a little boost and reconnect, the moldavite is a great stone to do that. I mean, it just takes you away. It's really powerful.
It's a good idea when you're just beginning to keep like black tourmaline or obsidian around you when you're holding moldavite to use as your gateway stone out to the cosmos.
That's good.
Good advice.
Grounds it down, you're saying.
Yeah.
Nice.
But it's a great vision stone, like, you know, and so it's one that as you're working with it, it's also a good idea to have some paper, pen nearby, because it can really trigger some very powerful visions and connections that you would want to record.
Nice.
I'm going to do a moldavite grid, Gwen. I'll send you the picture.
Oh, wow. That's like the launch pad.
That would be great. Gridding is really important. It's like working with the chakra bulbs to charge things, you know?
Yeah.
Really, really does. Another stone people should look for, and I think is important too, is kunzite.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Kunzite is a crystal gemstone. And the most beautiful ones, I think, are pink, but there's yellow ones that are beautiful and green. I think it comes in blue, too. I'm not sure about that.
I've seen the blue, but my favorite is the pink as well. And, you know, for people that suffer from depression, it's a really great stone to carry around in your pocket. You know, it's, again, it's really gentle like rose quartz, but it's tweaked. Like, to me, kunzite is, whereas rose quartz kind of emanates that universal compassion and love, kunzite really works on your own bodies, in my opinion. You know, like, it's a very personal stone.
Yeah, it's been considered one of the planetary transition stones, crystals. And it allows and accepts the self. One of the things I find with it, like rose quartz, it's about kindness. I think that kunzite, and that's why I chose it to make an essence of, expresses a gentler, more sensitive observation of the human condition, especially now. I think it's a real important, you know, it's a cousin to the lithium. So it's also good for people who are working on withdrawal issues from alcoholism or addiction, epilepsy, Huntington's disease, if you're dieting. It's a thyroid. These are some of the key organs that it resonates with. And the disconnection from Mother Earth, a lot of people are going through that and don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. Because they're caught up in a fear of end times and planetary destruction. And I'd pour buckets of this stuff into the city water supply if I could.
Yes. I would help you.
I mean, we already have Prozac and lithium going through our water, so.
Yeah. Well, see, lithium, as a good medicine, can be very helpful, but kunzite is the rarefied, it's the gem. And the crystals are really beautiful, too. They're tabular kind.
They're gorgeous, yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, this has been very interesting. I mean, even for someone who's like, you know, all in this world, it's funny that I kind of dance around the crystals. So you know what I'm going to do, Gwen. I'm going to send you a picture of the stones and gems that I have, and you can tell me what I have and how to work with them and jumpstart this process, you know. That's great. So we can find Gwen's gemstone elixirs at daughtersofisis.com. And Kim, how can people find you and work with your wonderful tools?
Yeah, motherhouseofthegoddess.com.
Wonderful name. Mother House of
Thank
the
you.
Goddess.
A lot more than products she's offering. I went over, I cruised. She's offering online courses, especially with the different archetypes, who your goddess is and getting to know her. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah. We're 52 goddesses is kind of my love offering. So it's really great. It's a gateway to goddess.
There you go.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's great. And you can find me at spirittherapynyc.com, and Daughters of Isis is there as well. So, well, thank you, ladies. This has been very informative and very enjoyable. Thank you for all of your knowledge. Kim, thank you for joining us.
Yes,
thank you so much. It was a blast. It was awesome.
Awesome.
And Kim, you have a radio show. Would you like to let us know how people can find you online there with the radio?
So I do Goddess Alive Radio, and so we're going to have to get you guys on there and return the favor. Cool. I would love it. And we do guided full moon meditations and new moon meditations every month.
Excellent. So actually
tomorrow night, if you don't have full moon plans, we're going to be doing Catherine Ravenwood, who's a shamanic priestess, is doing a guided meditation to the goddess Nut, the Egyptian goddess. So it'll be really fun.
Oh, Mother of the Sky.
Yes, cosmic. We're getting into it.
Nice. What time is that?
8 o'clock Eastern time. So, cool. But then, of course, you know, as with your shows, they're all archived, so people can tap in any time. So you can find the goddess that you need at the moment.
Great.
This full moon, by the way, is called the Flower Moon, and it's in Scorpio.
The scorpion and the bull hanging out.
There you go. Thank you again so much for having me.
Thank you. And everyone, enjoy their full moon, and we will see you at the next show, Sunday show, 6 p.m., little political talk, and then Monday, spirit therapy at 7 p.m. All right.
Yeah, I'd like to give a little. Tomorrow we have Stuart Alexander, who was the socialist presidential candidate in 2012? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, he's always good. So
nice.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thank you again, ladies. And everyone, have a wonderful evening. Good night.